We begin the current daf himself, Kesubas daf Tzadik Gimel. Begin 6 lines down the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of this Perek, discussing Misha Hoya Nasi, when a man was married to more than one woman, then there are different complications that come up in how to pay out their Kesubas, as we spoke about in previous Mishnahs, regarding if one died when he was alive, and one died when he was already dead, then one collects one type of a Kesubah, which is a Baal Chayiv, another one collects in a different fashion, called Kesubas Ben Dichrin. Our Mishnah encounters a different challenge. Misha hayonasi shalosh nashim. If someone was married to 3 women, umeis, and he died, ksubasa shalzu mana. One of their ksubas that he had written to her when they got married that he's going to pay her was a mana, which is 100 zuz. The shalzu masayim, a different woman he married, he promised her a ksuba of 200 zuz. The shalzu shalosh meis, and of one was for 300. Each one had a different amount in their ksuba. Now, all 3 of them were signed on the same day. Now, because as Rashi explains, had they been on 3 different days, then the halacha of our Mishnah would be very much different. Rather, it would be based on whoever had the earlier document would be the first one to collect. But here we're told that they were all written on the same day. And therefore, the halacha is, ve'ein shem ela mana. What happens is, if there's only a mana, and you have 3 that are written, signed on the same day, and each one, one's collecting 100, one's collecting 200, one's collecting 300, and there's only 100 that's available to be collected. So now the Mishnah says, Chelkin b'shava. So they split equally. The reason being is because in this amount that there is in the estate, which is a mana, which there's a lien by the women on the husband's estate for whatever amount their ksuba is, all of them have rights in the mana. Because there's one that's 300, 200, 100. Even the lowest one has a shivut of 100, and that's all that he has in his estate. So they each split the mana equally. 33 and a third goes to each one. Now, however, the Mishnah moves on to a different case. Hayusham Masayim. Same beginning of the case, same 3 women with the different amounts, but if there was 200 zuz in the husband's estate. Now, here the case changes a little bit because the woman that had the ksuba of a mana of 100 zuz, she only has a lien on a mana, on the first mana that there is. But the second mana, meaning the second 100, she has no lien for her document because her document only has a lien of 100. Now, so therefore, the Mishnah says, Shamana neitelas chamisha. So the woman that had the lowest ksuba, that of 100, she takes 50, which the Gemara is going to ask, seemingly, that regarding the first mana, all the 3 women have rights, so therefore, as in the previous case, she should only get 33 and a third, and then regarding the second mana, the woman that has 200 and the woman that has 300 should be splitting that one. But they will address that question. It's not 33 and a third, but the woman of a mana, she gets 50. Shamasayim v'shal shalish meis. Now, regarding the other 2 women that they have the higher amount of ksubas, one of 200, one of 300, they each get shalisha shalisha shalzav. They each get 3 golden dinar. What that amount is that every single golden dinar equals to 25 silver dinar. So 3 times 25 is that each one gets 75. Now, the reason for this is because the one that had the 200 zuz of her ksuba, she is equal to the one that has 300 in the second mana, in the Masayim, because each one has a right to that 200. One for 300 definitely has a right for the 200. The one of 100 doesn't have a right in the second 100. So therefore, regarding that second mana, which they both have a lien on, the 200 and 300, they split equally 50-50, literally 50-50. They each get 50 out of that 100. So since there was 50 that was given to the one of mana in the first one, again, there's 2 mana, there's 200. 3 women, one was wants to collect 100, one wants to collect 200, one wants to collect 300, is not enough. It's only 200 to be collected. So that, the Mishnah says, that the one, which the Gemara will address the question why that is, but the one of the mana gets 50 from the first mana, so you have 150 left. Now, that first 50 that's there in the first mana, in the first 100, is split equally by the 200 and the 300. Now, in the remaining mana, which they each have a right to, because it's 200 and 200 has a right, and 200 lean on that, and 300 definitely has a lean on 200, they split 50-50, so each one has 50 plus 25 is 75 for each one, which is 3 golden coins. Third case, third variation of this case. Hayisham shalish meis. If there was 300 left in the husband's estate. Now, the case is as follows. The first mana is meshubit to all of them. because they each have a lien on 100, even though one has the least ksuba of a mana. The second mana is also mishubit to the 200 woman and the 300 woman. Now, however, the third mana is only mishubit to the one that has a ksuba of 300. So David Allah is as follows. Shalmana netelas chamishim, again, as the Gemara will explain why that is, seemingly she should always only get 33 and a third, because everyone is splitting that first mana together. But that the Gemara will address. And however, the woman of the mana gets 50. Vishal masayim mana. The one that has the ksuba of 200, she gets a mana, which is 100, which the Gemara will also explain why that is. Vishal shalas meis, and the one that has the ksuba of 300, she gets shisha shalzav. She gets 6 golden coins, which again, according to the calculations, that each golden coin is 25, she gets 150. So it's split between the 100, 200, and 300. Ksuba is 50, 100, and 150. So those are three different variations in the halacha, depending on how much she leaves over, of 100, 200, 300, for the woman that each one has a ksuba, one of 100, one of 200, and one of 300. And the Mishnah concludes, V'chein gimel shatilu l'kis, same thing applies by three partners that put money in the middle, meaning they chip in to purchase some type of a merchandise, that if pirasu or hesiru, that if it goes down or if it goes up, kachin chalkin, that's exactly how they split. In other words, each one takes in the profits or in the loss according to how much they invested. Same thing as we're applying in the halacha of our Mishnah, where we apportion it, not if let's say they're coming to collect in the 300, let's say the most amount that he left over in the third case of the Mishnah. What do you mean? The one for the mana, and masayim, and shal, and 300, each one should maybe get a mana. And we don't say that. We don't say they each split it equally. We say accordingly, proportionately to how much they have owed to them, that's how much they split it. That's exactly how it's done with three different partners. Now, the Gemara addresses the question that we alluded to in the Mishnah, that we said that when there was, in the case of when there's 200 that he left over, the second case of the Mishnah. Question is, it said, Shalmana netelas chamishim. So when there's only one mana, we said it's split three ways, 33 and a third to each one. The question is, why does that change in the second case of the Mishnah when there was 200 left over by the husband? We said, Shalmana netelas chamishim, the one that's owed the least amount of her ksuba, which is 100 zuz, she takes 50. The question is, why? Telasin v'telasa v'tilsahu de'isla, she should have 33 and a third, which is a third of the mana. And the reason being is because she has nothing to do with the second mana, the second 100. She only has a lien on 100. Now, on that first 100, there's three women that have rights in that one. So she should only get 33 and a third. Why are we saying that she gets 50? So the first approach in the Gemara is Amar Shmuel. He says, B'kesevis balas masayim labalas mana. It's talking a specific case where the second woman, there's 300, 200, 100. The woman that her ksuba is 200 wrote to the woman that has a ksuba of 100, din dvarm ainli imach b'mana. Don't worry, you have the least amount of all three of us, but don't worry, I'm not going to contend with you regarding the first 100 that our husband left over. In other words, when we're going to come to court, I'm not going to contend that first mana, which is meshubit, to you, and you're not going to lose because of me. Now, because of that, the woman of the mana and the woman of the 300 mana, sans the woman of the 200, are splitting that first mana. That's why she gets 50, because the woman of the 200 is not contending with her. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, that we're discussing where the 200 woman is not contending with the 100 woman, and therefore the 100 only splitting with the 300, splitting 100 in half between the two of them, she gets 50. So Emes Seifa, look at the end of this halacha. It says in this same case, Shamasayim v'shal sholish meis. So how much does the 200 woman get and the 300 woman get? We explained the mana gets 50, and we said it as we just explained, because the 200 is not splitting. So the 200 and the 300, they each get sholish sholish sholzav, they each get 75, which is 3 golden coins. And that the question is, Teimalah, the woman that her ksuba is the 300 should tell the woman that her ksuba is 200, Hasalak nafshach mina. What do you mean? You took yourself away from the first mana. You told that to the woman of the 100. That's why you weren't there in the division. That's why she's getting 50, and I'm getting the other 50. So therefore, you should only be splitting, as we're talking about the second case of the Mishnah, where there's 200 that the husband left over, you should only be splitting in the second 100, in the second mana, which gives you only 50 when you're splitting with me. So why does our Mishnah say that she gets 75? She's only getting 50 because she's not part of the first mana. So the Gemara answers, no, Mishum de Amr La, because the woman of the 200 ksuba could tell the woman of the 300 ksuba, Midin udvarm hu desliki nafshai. I only removed myself when I spoke to that woman. She had the least amount in ksuba. I told her I'm not going to contend with her. I didn't give my part of the first mana to her as a gift. What she's collecting is not because she's my messenger. I told her, you take my part. I just told her, I'm not going to contend with you. And you're not going to lose because of me. So that's why, as we explained, she's able to get half of it because she's not contending with it, and she gets 50. But the 200 woman could tell the 300 woman, now that you're coming to get the other half of that first mana, I will contend with you because my lien is the same as your lien on the first mana as it is on the second mana. And therefore, the 50 that's left over, I'm going to split with you. And that's why she gets 25 and she gets 25. And then regarding the second mana, which is 100, she gets 50, she gets 50. And that's why each one's getting 75, 75, which are the three golden coins. Now the Gemara moves on to the next case in the Mishnah. Hayisham Sholish Meis B'chul. So we understand, obviously, the first case, which the Gemara didn't discuss, when there's one mana, and they each have an equal lien on the 100, so they each get 33 and a third. Second case we just discussed, which is, at least according to Shmuel, the woman of the mana gets 50 because the woman of the 200 is not contending with her. And the 200 and the 300 each get 75 because she is contending with the 300 woman, and therefore they get 25-25 in the first mana and 50-50 in the second one. Now the Gemara moves on to the third variation of this case of the Mishnah. As we explained already, it was self-understood the first case of the Mishnah when there was a mana left over, which each three have an equal lien on that, and therefore they split it 33 and a third. Then we explained the second variation of that when there's 200 left over, where the first mana, as we explained according to interpretation of Shmuel, the one of mana gets 50 because the one of 200 is not contending with her, so therefore there's only two women to fight out the mana that's there, so they get 50-50. But the 200 contends with the 300 even in their first mana, so they split that 50, 25-25, and then the second mana, which the first woman has nothing to contend, although she didn't get a full mana, she only has a lien on the mana, not on the second 100, therefore she doesn't contend with that at all, and therefore that 50, that 100 is split 50-50 between the 200 and the 300, so each one gets 25 plus 50, which is 75 each, which are the three golden coins. Now, the Gemara moves on to quoting the third variation of this case from the Mishnah. If there was 300 left over by the husband, which is being collected by the three ksubas of the three wives. So on that, the Mishnah said that the one of the mana gets 50, the one of 200 gets 100, and the one of 300, her ksubas for 300, she collects 150. Now that the Gemara asks, so we said in the Mishnah that Shel Masayim, the woman that has the middle-sized ksuba, that of 200, she collects a mana. Now that the Gemara asks, but Shivim v'chamisha hu di'isla, she only really, she should be getting 75. Now, this is because, as we just explained in the previous case, which is the only way we understand this case, the way Shmuel explained, is that the woman that has the least amount of ksuba, that of mana, gets 50. Why does she get 50? She should only be getting 33 and a third in that first mana. It's because the one of the 200, which is the woman we're discussing now, tells her din d'var mainly, so she doesn't contend with her. So she gets 50, and then there's another 50, which she will contend with the 300 one, which she splits with her 25-25. Now, the problem is, so good, she's going to get 25 from the first mana, and in the second mana, she's going to be splitting from that 100, 50-50, with the 300, which gives her a total of 75, because she's getting 25 in the first one, so that 50 she's splitting with the 300 woman, and in the second 100, she's getting 50 out of that, which is 75. Now, however, but regarding the third mana, she shouldn't be getting anything because she only has a lien on 200 of it, not on the third 100. So the third 100 shouldn't be splitting. So if she's only getting from the first 200, as we explained, she's only getting 25 in the first one, and from the second one, she should only be getting 50. So why is she getting 100? She should be getting 75. So Amar Shmuel explains, based on his interpretation in the previous case, that of the second case, in the third case, is a little different. It's Torma b'keseves bala sholish meis. Now, instead of being this 200 woman that felt told the 100 woman one that she's not going to contend with her, it's the 300 ksuba woman that writes labalas mesaimu, labalas mana, writes to the 200 woman and the 100 woman mana, that din advarm ein liyemocha memana, I'm not going to contend with the two of you regarding the first mana. Now, and we're not talking about like in the previous case that the 200 mana said she's not contending. She didn't write that she's not contending. So therefore, the way it comes out is that the first mana is being split 50-50 between the balas messiah, the one that's 200, and the balas mana, that of the 100. So therefore, each one of them is getting 50. The second mana is being split between the 200 mana woman and the 300 mana woman, which is 50-50. So therefore, the messiah is getting 100, 50 from the first mana and 50 from the second one. And you're right, and the third mana is going totally for the 300 mana woman, and that's why she's getting 150, because she's getting 50 of the second mana, because she's not taking anything from the first mana, because she's saying, look, you guys can get the first mana, I have the biggest ksuba, and that's why she's going to get 50 from the second one and 100 from the last one, and that's why the Baalas Masayim is going to be getting 100. That's interpretation of the second case of the Mishnah and the third case of the Mishnah, according to the interpretation of Shmuel, which one of the main reasons for this interpretation was necessary because how do we understand why the Baalas Mana gets 50 and not 33 and a third. However, Rabbi Yaakov Menar Pekoid Mishmei de Ravina, he said that actually you don't have to say as Shmuel had explained in his interpretation that it's talking about Bekoi Savis. In other words, that either the 200 mana woman, as in the second case of the Mishnah, or the 300 mana woman in the third case of the Mishnah, wrote to them saying, don't worry, I'm not going to contend with you. You don't have to say that. Rather, Reisha B'Shtei Tfisais, B'Sefer B'Shtei Tfisais. Rather, the reasoning for the cases of the second case and the third case is talking about that there were two different installments of what was available for the collection of the Ksuba. It wasn't at one time, rather it was at two different times, and that's why the halacha comes out as it is, as the Gemara explains. Reisha, which is a reference to the second case of the Mishnah, when there was 200 available to be collected, was B'Shtei Tfisais, was at two different times. D'naflu shivin v'chamisha v'chad zimna. First, the husband's estate had 75 mana available that was available to be collected. And then that is what they're contending. Now, therefore, regarding that, the Mishnah says that they each split it equally because they each one have an equal shibud on the mana. So 75, which is less than the mana, which is 100, they each have equal rights to. So they split it equally and they're each getting 25. Now, umeya ve'eser mechamisha mechad zimna. Then, the second installment of the 200 was 125. Now, the one that it has a ksuba of a mana, so she already collected 25. So she's not contending for 100 for a mana, which was her ksuba, which is the least ksuba. She's only contending now for 75. So therefore, 75 out of that 125, each one has an equal shibud on that. Now, everything is changing now because it was two different installments, because she was able to collect what she did and then still have a shibud on what's left over because she collected 25, but now she still has 75 left that she didn't. So therefore, the first 75 out of the 125 is split equally amongst the three women. So now it comes out, so for each woman has 50. Now, the leftover that there is, which is 50, so that woman of the mana has nothing to do with that already, because that's already beyond her scope of the 75 that she had to lean on. So that's why we say, in the case of Messiah, that the woman of Messiah and of Shalosh Meis, each one is getting 3 golden coins, which is 75, because each woman had 50 according to the calculation that we said. But then the remaining 50 is only being split amongst those two women, which is 50 plus 25 for each woman. Sefer B'Shtei Tfisais, similarly, in the third case of the Mishnah, which when there was 300 left over by the husband, is also in two different installments, and that's how we could also understand the case. Which again, the primary idea we're trying to explain is how did the first woman of the mana get more than 33 and a third? So the case is talking about Dinaflu Shivim V'Chamisha V'Chadzim. Again, that the first installment was that there was an availability of 75 to be collected. Now, regarding 75, they're all equal, and again, because even the smallest ksuba is 100. And then the second installment was of 225 at one time. Now, first we're going to address the woman of the Messiah, which besides the question that we had regarding the woman of the mana, which was one important question addressed by Shmuel, by explaining that Kesevis that they wrote, don't worry, I'm not going to contend with you, there was the second question, which was the third case of the Mishnah, which is the one we're discussing now, regarding the woman of 200, how does she collect 100? If you say that each one has however much rights they have in that mana, so regarding the first mana, she has the rights of 33 and a third, just like all the other ones. Second mana, which the first woman doesn't have any rights in, because she only has in the first mana, so she has 50. So 50, because she's only splitting with the one of the 300. So 50 plus 33 and a third is not 100. So according to this interpretation of Ravina, it comes out as follows. The woman of the 200, who only collected the first time when there was 75 available, she only collected 25. Now she's coming to contend on the second installment, 175. Because since she was owed 200, that's how much her ksuba is, she already collected 25 from the first time around when there was 75 available. So that leaves her with 175 that she still has a lien on that. Now, moreover, we still have the first woman, that of the mana, who also is still in play over here in this 225, but only for 75 of it, because she also already got 25. So essentially, from the 225 that's here, the first 75 is split equally amongst all of them, because they still all everyone has a lien of at least 75. So it comes out, as we explained, that each woman has 50 so far from the three women, because we had the first 75 where each one has an equal right in 25 of that 75. And then of the remaining 225, which fell a different time, again, the first 75 of that, everyone has, even the Baalas Mana who collected 25, still has rights of 75. So that was split three-way. Each one has 25 in that, of the first 75 and the second 75, so each woman has 50. So that makes up for a total of 150. So still another 150 left from the 300 that the husband left. Now, the next 100, from 150 to 250, now, the reason why we're talking about the next 100 is because the woman of 200, or the middle-sized ksuba, she already had 25 the first time when there was 75 available from the husband's estate, which was split three-way. Therefore, on the remaining two, when the next installment of 225, she had a lien of 175. Now, the first 75 we already discussed, where that was a lien that was for all three women that had that amount. So there's 100 remaining that she has a lien on that she could collect from. So both the 200 woman and the 300 woman are going to be splitting that, which thus gives her 50 plus 50, which is 100. Now the remaining half a mana, the remaining 50, which is from the 300, that goes totally to the woman of the 300. So that's how we get the calculations of the one of the mana gets 50. As we explained, because from the first 75 that fell, they all have rights. So she had 25. Then from the next 225, she has rights up till 75. So she gets a third of that, which is 50. The one of 200 gets a mana, as we explained, because it's 25 of the first 75, plus 25 of the second 75, and then 50 of the next mana that she has a lien on. And then the one of 300 gets 150, as we explained, what's left over, which are 6 golden coins, which is exactly as the Mishnah had explained. So those are the two different interpretations of the Mishnah, either according to Shmuel, which told him that either the 200 woman or the 300 woman wrote to saying, don't worry, I'm not going to contend with that, and that's how you get the understanding, or the way Ravina said it, that's not, it's just that it happened, b'shtei tfis, in two different installments. Now, however, Tanya, we learned that Zu, the Tana, the Braisa says that our Mishnah is Mishnah's Reb Nosson. Goes according to the interpretation of Reb Nosson. However, Rabbi says, "Ein ani raya devar v'shor Reb Nosson be'elu." I don't agree to what Reb Nosson says in our Mishnah regarding the case of these three women, because you can't compare it as he does in the Mishnah to the halacha of three men that chip in to a partnership, because rather elu chalkus b'shavei. He says, "I would hold that in the case of three women, they actually would split it equally." And the reason why it's not comparable to the case of three partners is because there, when their money, when whatever their investment was, that they make a profit, yes, each one takes according to how much they invested. So therefore, there I agree, if there was 100, 200, 300, now when they're going to be splitting the profits, it goes according to how much was invested. But here, Rebbe says that it goes based on shibudim, on a lien of whatever the ksuba is. Now, all the husband's estate is liable to her ksuba. No matter if she has a ksuba of $10 and he's worth millions, whatever, until she gets her money, his entire estate has a lien for her ksuba. Therefore, the three manim, the 300, are all mishubed to the woman that even has a ksuba of just one mana, just like her friends, until she collects her whole ksuba. That's why it's split equally. Each one gets a mana. There's 300 here. I'm owed a mana. Yeah, you're owed 200, you're owed 300. But what's the difference? I need to get my mana. Since everything is mishubed to her ksuba, the halacha is that each one is going to be getting a mana. He argues on Rav Nosson in our Mishnah, which said that it goes according to the proportion of how large their ksuba was. Now, as we just mentioned from the case of the Mishnah, it said b'chein shleisha she'etilu, which Rav Nosson holds is the same thing as women, Rebbe holds not, but the same thing is by three partners, that's how they split. If it, let's say it's 100, 200, 300, as the case in our Mishnah, well, they split accordingly to how much they invested, that's how they get paid accordingly. Now, related to this halacha, the Mishnah, which actually the Gemara is going to ask on this statement, Amar Shmuel, he says, Shnaim shetilu lekis. If two people put money in the pot, I mean they split, they're joining together in a venture. Zeman of zema. Say one guy chips in 100, one guy chips in 200. So on that we can see on Amid Beis, Shmuel says haschali emtza. Actually, the profits are split equally, which the Gemara is obviously going to ask from our Mishnah, which sounds like clearly that it's not equally, and it goes according to how much they invested. Now, first, Amar Rabbah, he qualifies as halacha Shmuel. He says, "Mistaber milsi de Shmuel." It's logical to say that Shmuel's halacha was tokma. Bishur lecharisha, when they invested in an ox together, and the purpose of this ox was for plowing. That ba'imid lecharisha, moreover, that it was utilized for plowing. That where you can't say that either one of them, that their portion is greater than the other one, because you need the whole ox to do the work that it does, and therefore, that's why they split it equally. Whatever profit was made by the, let's say, renting out the ox of whatever it was that it was plowing. But Rabbi says, if let's say they originally purchased the ox for plowing, but the value of the ox's meat itself went up in price, and therefore they changed their mind, they ended up using it to slaughter and sell it for meat, then each one takes according to how much money invested. And the reason being is because now we're splitting it according to its limbs. And here you don't have to say that, as in the what would seemingly be Shmuel's halacha, that you can't use only one part of the ox and not the other, and therefore the profit is just as much mine. Even if I only have a third of the animal as your two-thirds of the animal, it doesn't make a difference. There you split it equally, but when we're going according to limb, then it goes according to how much each person invested. Now, as Rashi points out, that this that we said that originally the intention was for plowing is a bigger chiddush, is a novelty in saying that even though originally their intention to join together was for a partnership, to split it equally, which is what plowing is, as we explained in the halacha of Shmuel, but now that they changed their mind and they ended up using the meat, which is to slaughter it, and then it's getting split according to its limbs, however much part of the animal you actually have, then each person takes according to how much money he invested. That's Rabbi's interpretation in Shmuel. He argues. He says, no, even if they ended up using this ox that they had purchased for plowing, they used it for slaughtering, still they're going to split it equally. Doesn't go based on that. And no matter what the situation is, however much was invested, it's split equally. Now, the Gemara's Meisiv, the Gemara's on Rabbi's interpretation, the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Shnayim Shatil Lekis. If two people chipped in together, Zemanam v'zemesayim, one 100 and the other one 200, haschal le'emtza, so they split it equally. So the Gemara asks, my love, isn't it also talking about b'shar l'charisha v'ayim l'tzvicha, that although they had chipped in for plowing, but they ended up slaughtering it, which Tosis points out, there's no reason to assume that way, but the reason of the assumption is because, as the Gemara will shortly ask, from the seifa of this brisa, and b'yuftei d'Rabba, remember that's a reputation of Rabba, where he said that if it ended up being slaughtered, then it goes based on exactly how much of the mass of the meat you have. That goes according to how much you invested. And therefore, it's according to your money, not split equally. Here we see it split equally. So the Gemara says, Loi, no, b'shar l'charisha v'ayim l'charisha. I was talking about when they purchased it for plowing and they ended up using it for plowing. That's as Shmuel had said, haschal yamtza. Now, that the Gemara asks, avashar l'charisha v'ayim l'tzvicha mai. So what would you say, and what are you trying to say, Rabba, that if it was purchased for plowing, but it was ended up used for slaughtering, that you would say that everyone takes according to how much money they invested. On that, the Gemara asks, are the Tani Sefer, so instead of the Sefer of that Brisa which we're quoting and asking from, the Brisa says as follows, If let's say this guy took from his money, he went and purchased healthy oxen, which is at the value of 200. V'zeh b'shaloi, and this guy purchased with his mana, also oxen, but weaker oxen. V'nis arvan, and they chipped in together to open up this oxen company. Then each one takes according to how much money he invested. The reason being is because a weaker ox doesn't work as well as a healthy one. And that's why he only had to invest less than that, and therefore he gets according to how much money he invests. Now, that the Gemara asks, Liflik v'lisne b'dida. Let it differentiate and divide even in the case of the ratio itself. In other words, why go to the seifa and say, okay, the ratio says that you split equally. The seifa will find the case that it goes according to how much money you invest, when each one got a different quality, different grade of animal, thus investing at a different amount of money, that's how much they take back. But according to Rabbah, you could even get in the same type of case of the ratio when they invested in one animal and they split it, the seifa of the brisa should have said, wait, when did we say that we split it equally? That b'shar l'charisha v'im l'charisha, as Rabbah wants to say, that that's the case of the ratio, when it was only ended up used for plowing. Av b'shar l'charisha v'im l'tvicha, but if it was purchased for plowing, but it ended up being used for slaughtering, then zenoit l'fem yaseh v'zenoit l'fem yaseh, and each one takes according to his money, why go to a different case of different animals, when according to Rabbah, you could say even in the same case of the ratio itself, where we split it equally, that then you'll take according to how much you invested, if it was ended up slaughtered. So now the Gemara says, actually, this is what the Brice is saying. And the Brice is saying as follows. When did we say that you split it equally? That's B'shar L'Charisha V'Em L'Charisha, as Rabbah had posited to explain the Brice, when it was only used for plowing. But if it was purchased for plowing and it ended up being slaughtered, then Nasikimi, that's what how he's explaining the Brice, that's the safe of the Brice, which then it says, if Shalakh Zebe Shalai Bezebe Shalai Nisarva. Then it's almost as if this one purchased one type of an animal, investing less, and this one purchased another type of an animal, investing more. Then they joined together. That zenoit l'fimaisav, zenoit l'fimaisav, that each one takes according to his money. But you're right, it's actually that same type of a case, and it was just elucidating it by saying in the case of two different types of animals, which is what it's like in halacha. But it's even in, and that's exactly the case I was trying to explain, of when you took it for harisha, but you ended up using it for tzvicha. Now, the Gemara asks, and this is why we brought this discussion, and from our Mishnah tonight, we'll learn the Mishnah, this is difficult on the concept of Shmuel's halacha itself. The Mishnah said, V'chein shleisha shetilu l'kis. Not only does this halacha apply to the three women, which we said, one has a mana and masayim and 300, and then they divide whatever he has left over, not 100, 100, 100, of let's say the third case of the Mishnah, but proportionally according to how much their ksuba is. Same thing applies to three partners. If, let's say, they have less or they make more. So, and that's exactly how they split, again, based on how much they invested. So, that the Gemara asks, my love, pichasu mamish. Isn't it talking about in the profit margin? That if they lost, so then the loss is proportionate. Hisiru mamish. And if they make more, so the profit is proportional. And that's what the Mishnah said. That's how they split according to how much money was invested, proportionally. That refutes Shmuel. Shmuel said that when regarding the profit, how it doesn't make a difference how much they invested, still the halacha is going to be a schar lemsa, they're going to split the profits equally. So that seems to be refuted from a Mishnah. When you have three different partners, one's investing 100, one's 200, one's 300, it says that they don't split the profits equally. It goes according to how much they invested. So that the Gemara answer is actually not. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbah, our voice is like, no, it doesn't contradict the Allah of Shmuel. Because Hisiru, what does it mean that they had more, that there was an increase in profit, was Zuzi Chadati, meant to say new coins. In other words, when they invested with old currency. Then they had business dealings until they were able to replace that with new currency. Now, the purpose of the difference between old or new is that it's easily used in business dealings. And that is, so therefore that's a more increased value of the currency that you have. Now that's why, in this case of the Mishnah, they're splitting it according to how much was invested. Because actually each one is taking the money that he had given. But actually if they had been making more on the calculations, meaning in a profit margin, that, as Shmuel has said, that would have been split equally. And Pichas, when it says that that depreciated, it means astira ditunisa. It means to say that the currency was invalidated. In other words, it's not in circulation anymore. Now, what type of value does that have? That is like someone that has a wound on the bottom of his foot. Then, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Shabbos, he ties it there because the rust and the metal and the shape of the coin and the protrusions helps heal it. Now, the reason being is because since the currency is there, it's extant, so each one takes according to how much he invested, because they're actually taking back their same coins. But if, let's say, they would have lost money of 100 or 50 zuz, then actually they each one would have split 50-50 according to the profit or the loss. It would have been be'emtza, exactly as Shmuel says. And therefore, that gives us a new understanding in the halacha of our Mishnah, when we said the three partners go according to how much they invested. That's only in the actual currency itself that's similar to, and we could say that as Rabbi had said possibly, which is like the animal itself, then that goes according to how much was invested. When the money itself, when you're taking that back, that Shmuel would agree that, yes, that goes proportionally. But regarding the profit margin or the loss, that actually will be le'emtza, everyone gets equally in that. Now, the Gemara continues with the next mission, again, continuing on this theme of the theme of the parak, Misha Hayinoso, the complications that come up when a man is married to more than one woman. So Misha Hayinoso Dal Nosha Mesa. Someone's married to four women and he died. So Harishina Kedemis Lishnia, the first one that was married comes before the second one, meaning to collect her ksuba. Vishnia Lishlishis, second one to the third one, again, because they're all coming as like a Baal Chayiv, as a creditor, which is what a woman is when she's a widowed collecting her ksuba. So the first creditor comes first. Second one comes before the third one, Vishlishis Lerabis, and the third one comes before the fourth one. Now, moreover, Vishnia Nishbas Lishnia, the first woman coming to collect, the first one to be married, she has to swear, take an oath to the second woman. And that is if, let's say, the second woman claims, says, look, you're the first one of the four women coming to collect the ksuba. Swear to me that you have not yet collected from your ksuba, from our husband, anything yet. Because the reason why you have to swear to me is because I'm a baldover over here, because maybe there's not going to be enough left over for my ksuba. And therefore, I'm contending with your rights necessarily to go ahead and collect. And therefore, you have to swear to me that you didn't collect anything yet, and that's why you could collect your amount first. Now, the same thing goes Vishnei Lishlishis. Second one has to swear to the third one, because whatever the second one's taking is taken away from the third one. And Vishlishis Lerevius, and the third one has to swear to the fourth one. But Vervius Nefresh Lebishvur, but the fourth one can collect without taking any oath. As Rash explains, it's told by, for example, if let's say the orphans are already adults, and that the Tana of Mishnah holds, that when the Rabbanan said, when anyone wants to collect, even a woman collecting a ksuba, come to collect from the estate of the orphans, can only collect with an oath, that talks about by minor orphans, but not by adult orphans. And therefore, since it doesn't pertain to the other women because they already collected the ksuba, and neither does she have to swear to the orphans because they're adults, she could collect her ksuba without an oath. Now, Benana Soimer, as the Gemara will explain the reason for his opinion, he says, because she's the last woman, she gains, and she could collect without an oath in contrast to the other women. So he says, no, afi lo tefer l'bishvur, she also could only collect with an oath, and the Gemara will explain exactly what are they arguing about, why is she making an oath. Now the Mishnah concludes, ha-yaitzis kulam b'yem echad, if they were all written at the same day. So then, kol akademis l'chaverta filosha achas, then, since we can't look at dates, meaning in regards to the days, then we base it on actually the hours. If one of the woman's ksuba was written even 1 hour before the other one, so zachsa, so she merits, and that's obviously if the hours are delineated and written in the document of the ksuba itself. So for example, if one of them writes it was in the third hour, and the other one says in the fourth hour, and so on, the earlier hour collects first. And actually, the Mishnah says, b'kachoy kaysim b'Yerushalayim shalais. In Yerushalayim, they used to write in the ksuba the exact hour when the ksuba was written. Now, are you cool? Yaitzes b'sha'aches, if they were all written in the same hour, the ancient elamana, and there's only a mana, then chalak is b'shava, as we explained up until now, then they split equally again because they all have rights in that, and therefore all the four women are going to be splitting that same mana equally.